for Free Agency Frenzy in association with our partner QuinnBet. It's actually an even month today since our last live broadcast, February 11th, which obviously was Super Bowl Sunday from inside the cozy confines of Allegiant Stadium before we stepped out into the chill Las Vegas air to bring the sun down on the season. Time to focus now on 2024, though, and hope always springs at this time of the year, because between today and March 13th, all 32 NFL teams can tamper to their heart's content, negotiate with free agents, and try to tie down that deal that they hope will put them over the top. And whether they stay or whether they go, we'll bring you all the key signings and assess who got paid, who got fleeced, and which players and teams are set up best to succeed in the 2024-2025 NFL season. Now, before we get stuck into all that, though, just wanted to let you know that our live show, Buskers on the Ball in Temple Bar, now sold out. Peter King of NBC Sports fame, PFT Live, will be with us on the 28th of March, Holy Thursday, for that show in association with our partners QuinnBet, Rupoint, and the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. Obviously, want to say from the Irish NFL show, thank you to everyone who bought tickets. We're really counting the days until we get to sit down with Peter King and, you know, perhaps as importantly, get to reconnect with the Irish NFL community in real life. Welcome back, Brian. And obviously, we've been active in free agency as well, because we applied the non-exclusive franchise tag. Is that how we frame it, Noel, to Noel Dowling? A new face and new voice to the show. Someone who's dabbled in the Irish NFL show, but we'll be hearing and seeing a lot more of in the season ahead, and we couldn't be more excited about that. Welcome, Noel. It's always good to have another Bears fan on the show. We went from zero to two in the space of two seasons. We're bearing down in a big way.
That's it. No, no, I appreciate being able to come on with you guys. And as you say, yeah, we've got Brian there in the middle now, two Bears on either side. So, you know, we'll see how that goes.
All right, we'll start with some of the stories on this, the first day of the free agency window. And a couple of teams already emerging for people who maybe haven't as nerdily been following us today as we have. A couple of big quarterback moves already. Russell Wilson at the Steelers, people might have seen over the weekend. Kirk Cousins, the big marquee signing today, though, moving from the Vikings to the Falcons. Big moves involving running backs seem to be a real feature this year as well. The running back market actually a little bit frothy, and some interesting deals for interesting money. We'll get into all of that. Green Bay Packers, very active, probably one of the most active teams so far, both in terms of who they've signed and who's gone the other way. Particularly big moves on the running back side for them. And the Dolphins taking a bit of pain to get in under the cap. They've let a couple of big players go who found new teams, and that could change the complexion of not only the Dolphins, but the teams who welcome the signings that have gone the other way, the free agent moves there. But Brian, let's start with that Kirk Cousins signing. It's a four-year deal to the Falcons. $180 million is the total value of that. $100 million guaranteed money. Few people have negotiated free agency as well as Kirk Cousins. He seems to find the perfect time to move, and yet again, he's pulled it off.
Because the agent deserves a statue in some state across the US by the time this is all over. It's, I suppose, over the course of the last 4 days, it's come more kind of a reality, just as the likelihood he was going to move on and go to Atlanta seems to be the obvious team. I know, judging by some of the information about his family background, in terms of his wife seems from that local area as well. So once we spoke with Justin Fields for week in and week out, and, you know, myself and Noel have been doing various podcasts, and that seemed like a likely move. This one, over the course of the last 40 years, really started to kind of gather momentum, gather pace. There was a lot of talk tonight. The Vikings were doing everything, pushing the boat out to try secure a deal. But let's not forget, this was Kirk Cousins is a fantastic quarterback in his own right, and has had some really successful seasons. He's coming off a season-ending injury where he hadn't played beyond week seven. He's on the wrong side of 30. Yes, he's got all the attributes to go in there. You spoke about time and time again, Connor, last year around this Falcons team, heavily stocked in offense, if only they had a better quarterback. It makes a lot of sense, but sometimes this time of year, we look at a deal and go, oh, that makes a lot of mistakes. And sorry, a lot of sense. And then it's a lot of mistakes that come with the deal in terms of what they've given up as well. So for the Falcons, they need to resolve this. This has got on turn on them trying to have a quarterback for the future.
It's a lot of money, Noel, and a lot of guaranteed money, as Brian says, for a guy who's coming off a serious injury. It's an Achilles injury that he did, and, you know, and a very unfortunate one for him. It's tough for any player to go down with an injury of that sort, but he was playing lights out, in fairness to him. He was having one of his best seasons. He was on track for well over 4,000 yards, was really playing well, and then suddenly the season got derailed, and now we won't see him back in Minnesota again.
Yeah, no, as you say, it's some money that he's gone there for, but there will be question marks with an older player who is coming back from such an injury like that. But it's interesting. It shows where the Falcons obviously believe that their roster is, that they were maybe just a quarterback away from kind of guiding these young, exciting players into the potential that they've kind of shown. Obviously, Raheem Morris talked about last year that he wouldn't be there if the quarterbacks had were any good at all last season. So they've gone out and they've made that big move now. And as I say, we talked to Justin Fields potentially going there, and that would have been kind of a future move where he could kind of develop there. But this is the opposite. This is, you know, we think we can do something. We're going to go and we're going to spend on an experienced quarterback to come in here who we think can actually push us over the edge. So it is. It's going to be interesting to see how, one, he develops from that injury, and then, two, can he actually fulfill what, you know, you would imagine they can see in him, paying that kind of money to bring him in.
The Justin Fields side note is kind of interesting, Nolan. Obviously, not just for Bears fans, because the two teams who seem the most likely, if the Bears are going to move on from Fields, which seems very likely, but the two teams who seemed like they were heading up to Justin Fields sweepstakes were the Falcons and the Steelers. They've both gone elsewhere.
Yeah, no, it's... I mean, I posed that question earlier on today, is, you know, what happens to Justin Fields now? It's a really, you know, as great a situation as it is for Ryan Poles and the Bears, you now look at the Justin Fields kind of scenario and you think, what happens here? Do they just dump him for whatever they can get? Do they bring him into the locker room, which could be an interesting dynamic if they do go number one with Caleb Williams? So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there was kind of outside talk of the Raiders, but I believe that's not going to happen now either. So I don't know. I don't see a landing spot for Fields at the moment. So maybe someone can surprise us, get a deal done. But I mean, it is going to be fascinating now to watch to see how that actually does develop. Or maybe the Fields fans will get their way. Maybe the Bears want to keep him, you know?
Yeah, I wonder now that they end up rolling into the season with him still on the roster, because quarterbacks will go down and suddenly what looks like a third or fourth round pick for Fields becomes a second round pick very quickly when teams become quarterback needy again. So we shall see. Brian said he was going to be a Giant for life, but Saquon is gone.
Yeah, you had to come to me on that one. I tell you what, I held that one back for quite some time. It stings. It really does sting. Yeah.
I've been waiting for a live show for a month. You want to hit them with the zingers up front?
Well, I read this in one of his tweets he put out 2 years ago. It's a bit of an Alex Smith scenario. A couple of, you know, back in the day when he declared his hate for Manchester United, but the minute they came calling, he left Leeds United as quickly as he could get out the door. Saquon Barkley has some very sipping outlets of media pieces over the course of the year where he declares his hate for the Eagles, but tongue-in-cheek maybe. I mean, you could argue the deal is comprehensive in the sense of it's one of the most aggressive moves today in terms of a free agency deal for a running back, $27 million over 3 years. Personally, I don't think the Giants played it very well in the end. Say, I get the deal. I get why the Giants have done this. You know, you can't be tied into running back. If Collins are here now, he'd argue that it's ultimately still the Daniel Jones contract, and we're still, you know, feeling the pain in that contract last year, which has led to this and led to tags. But I think most Giants fans recognize he's gone. I just think it's where he's gone, unfortunately. There's not many riders in the NFL that stack up in terms of your hatred, and this is one of them. As Packers and Bears fans would know, they don't like to see players swapping one for another. But look, the Giants have other teams. They've brought in Devin Singletary to, you know, the last 2 hours. It's not going to suffice in terms of satisfying the Giants' needs for a running back, so it'll be interesting to see where else to go in this. But for Barkley, I suppose he's looked at it. The three leading teams today, if you read and believe the reports, were the Texans, the Bears, and the Eagles. And ultimately, he's chosen the Eagles because he probably feels that's his best opportunity. And from a logistics perspective, he probably doesn't even have to move house, whatever that comes with that. Yeah. And a good opportunity within the division to bounce back next year.
Noel, as Brian said, the Giants may have played it poorly, but Saquon actually played it pretty well. He beat the franchise tag. He's gotten more guaranteed money than, you know, the Giants were ever willing to give him. 3 years, $37.5 million. It's good money for running back, particularly compared to what we were potentially looking at last year. But it just goes to show Saquon's different because he's such a threat in the passing game. And, you know, a guy who can average more than 50 yards on the ground and 20, 30 yards in the air consistently every single game. There just aren't that many of them in the league. There's Christian McCaffrey, there's Saquon. I think Josh Jacobs actually is in that category as well. I don't think there's anybody else who's consistently been able to do that over 5 years. That's the only way to get paid when you're coming out of the backfield in the modern NFL.
No, absolutely. Look, we know what way the running back market has gone now, and you do need to be a special player if you want to get that kind of the top money. Because other than that, teams just look at running backs as disposable, and they try to kind of shortchange them where they can. But you said that Barkley is a special player when he's fit, and he's on form. You know, he's a dual threat player who can, you know, he can run the ball, he can catch the ball. And I think for the Eagles, he's another exciting piece that they can kind of put in there. And look, we just need to look at how Brian and fellow Giants fans have reacted seeing him going there. You know, That's what you can tell.
A lot of sympathy in the comments here, Brian. It's good to see that the people are weighing in. Owen's saying, poor Brian. Leash is kind of saying, behind that Eagles front, you know, good luck with that one.
There's a lot of Saquon Barkley jerseys in the house, including a young 5-year-old upstairs who actually recognised Barkley on the TV earlier and said, why is he wearing a green jersey? Is that an Ireland jersey, Daddy? I said, no, unfortunately, it's not. No, it's not. It's an Eagles jersey.
His jersey, Brian, you have a few new dusters now for the house anyway.
The life isn't always fair conversation happens early in the O'Leary household.
Born them, and, you know, look, there's other running backs to focus on here. Let's keep it going.
There are other running backs to focus on. Look, as we've said, that's been one of the big teams. Let's look at the NFC North, because Josh Jacobs has arrived in Green Bay and kind of surprisingly had to be a make weight there, but it's Aaron Jones. Like, Jones has had his injury trouble, no question about it, and he carried a big salary cap hit. And clearly Brian Gutekunst, the GM, has decided there, don't want to take the risk, regardless of how well he played down the stretch and how he was explosive for them in the playoffs, let's be fair. Is Josh Jacobs an upgrade, though? I'm kind of wondering all ends up whether they're in a better position than they actually were. Josh Jacobs of every season bar last season, 100%, not arguing that, but last season wasn't by any means a good year for Josh.
No, I think it's a fair question. And it's, to be honest with you, when I saw the deal go through, it's a lot of people I saw ask that question, like, how big an upgrade is this really? But I think there's a 3-year age difference, which is something there. So maybe you're looking a bit to the future as well. But look, as a Bears fan, Connor, you're probably the same. I'm glad to see Aaron Jones out of the division, because we've had some torrid games against him. It's one I didn't see coming, but I mean, I can see the logic to it. I think LaFleur will have a good offense there. I think Jacobs, if he can get back going again, could be really, really productive for the Packers. Well, Aaron Jones will land somewhere, I would imagine, easily. He is a really good player. You talk about injury, so, and that's something that really affected him. I know last year he actually had to renegotiate his contract to play last season. And I think, obviously, this season, they just looked at it and thought they see someone younger, and maybe that's just the way they want to kind of play it now.
Now, we'll come back to you in a second on DeAndre Swift to the Bears. But Brian, I just wanted to get your take on, let's roll these two together, because, you know, when the Bears signed DeAndre Swift, people were like, oof, $24 million for 3 years. That looks spicy enough. Then Tony Pollard goes to the Titans for a very similar figure, you know, similar type of deal. People hoovering up running backs now. And, you know, as opposed to last season, they seem willing to pay for it, provided you're the right age profile. Tony Pollard's a couple of years older than DeAndre Swift, though.
Yeah, the Pollard one surprised me today, in the sense that he came off, he was on the tag last year, he'd come back off a broken leg. I don't think the Cowboys utilised him in the manner in which he probably benefits the team. I think he was very complimentary in the sense of the previous year he worked well with Zeke Elliott. He was the lead back last year. He didn't really materialise for him. But yeah, he's gone out today, he's got this contract from the Titans, and the Titans look like they're going to go in there and try maybe potentially a run-oriented offense, which surprised me, because I think one of the reasons why they were looking to get Brian Callahan as a head coach is that he would look to develop a young quarterback similar to what he's done with Joe Burrow. So that kind of struck me as a bit of a surprise. I'd be a little bit opposed, because I think Josh Jacobs is a super signing. He was one of the ones I was looking. If Saquon is to walk, I would be very keen to see him come in. Aaron Jones had a fantastic back end of the season going into the playoffs, and it kind of spirals from there in terms of how well he played. But over the course of the season, he was picking up injuries. He came back. People said he came back so fresh for the playoffs, but he was banged up for a lot of time. He was banged up the previous season. AJ Dillon, for me, hasn't really progressed to the running back in which they expected. So, no, I think this is a super signing for the Packers.
Looking at it being a bounce back, though, I mean, Josh Jacobs phoned it in last season. I know the Raiders were poor, but he was terrible.
Yeah, he was, yeah. And I think some of the pieces coming out from the Raiders, I think Josh Allen Reed, when they beat Raiders that we've had on previously, is suggesting the Raiders have looked at this, and Samir White came on really strong towards the back end of the season, so they recognised value. But this is back to the conversation we had time and time again last season, Connor. I know me and Nolan spoke about it offline. Running backs are out there. The value of running backs is there, and we've seen, you only have to look at the Chiefs, they win the Super Bowl 2 years in a row with a 6 or 7 round pick in Pacheco. You get the right guy, you strike gold, and who knows. I've got breaking news for you, Connor.
Go on.
Breaking news. This might relieve the pressure on some Giants fans tonight. Sheena Tweek, who Colm had on during the offseason, Panthers beat writer, is now doubling down on a conversation which I heard earlier on today. Brian Burns is due to be traded to the Giants from the Panthers. Looks like a second and fifth round, but the Panthers beat Riders are now saying this deal is pretty much done. There is awaiting the compensation package to be agreed. So there is light at the end of the tunnel for some Giants fans this evening. We can go back to the running back market if you wish, or discuss this one that you're
calling. Well, that's because you teed it up nicely there when you were talking about the running back market, Noel, on DeAndre Swift. It's slight bit of a head scratcher for me, because like, let's look at what the Bears have done over the last couple of years. They let David Montgomery go. The Lions let DeAndre Swift go. Montgomery goes to the Lions, and all right, they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs as well, but they seem to have upgraded their backfield. They didn't miss Swift at all, who, to be fair to him, had a career year last year, selected to the Pro Bowl. But it's to Brian's point, it's still a lot of money to pay a running back, and it's continued a bit of a trend that's emerged with Ryan Poles in Chicago, the GM, where he seems to spend money on non-premium positions. He put a lot of money into the linebackers last year when other teams weren't, and now he's paying big money for a running back, when actually the Bears, it's one position that they've pretty good at drafting and developing in terms of the likes of, you know, Tariq Cohen, Khalil Herbert, who's there now. They've generally picked up bargains in the running back market, but they've swung for the fences with this one.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a strange one. I mean, I think Swift is a good player. I was talking to Brian offline beforehand, and the first thing that came across when I saw it to me was, I mean, I like the move. I think he's a good player. I think he will be productive, but it was just kind of, it didn't jump at me for whatever reason. I don't know. I mean, when you look at the backfield they'd have there, now maybe they're looking at the fact that, you know, a lot of yards over the last couple of years were put up by Justin Fields. So maybe Fields is not going to be here next year. You want to get another kind of productive running back in who can help kind of put those yards in. Herbert found himself injured there last season. You know, maybe there's something in that. Maybe they kind of want an insurance policy. Roshan Johnson was touted really, really highly, but last year wasn't, I guess, what people had expected from him. But he can probably continue to develop. But I think going forward, when you look at this Bears team, Swift will probably be considered the number one back. But I think you will see all of them at times kind of, you know, you have that running back by committee kind of rotate. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, look, it's not the biggest money in the world for a running back. And as you say, he did have a productive season last year. And he is a player who can catch the ball as well as run. So it could be a good move. And he's a young player, so he could potentially be here for a number of years if they can kind of get that right. So yeah, like I'm not against the move. I do like it. I do think he's a good player, but it just wasn't one. I guess I was looking for something bigger in free agency to jump out at me as a Bears fan, but it's good. I think it's good. I think he'll be productive.
Brian, let's talk about a couple of defensive players. We focused on one side of the ball almost exclusively so far. And one of the bigger ones really kind of resetting the non-Aaron Donald market for interior defensive lineman, Christian Wilkins to the Raiders. As you know me, I judge players primarily by how good they are when they're mic'd up, and Christian Wilkins is absolute mileage when he's mic'd up. He's one of my favourite players, but also happens to be a very good defensive lineman, in fairness, which is why he's got a $110 million deal.
A nice pair to put alongside Max Crosby. I imagine that will re-energise a lot of the Raiders players defensively. The Raiders are going to need a big bounce back season. I think Tom Zalesko going in there as well, obviously the pressure of finishing with the Chargers, and then he jumps to another team within the division. I think he had to come out from a personal standpoint and make a big splash, and this is arguably one of the biggest. You could suggest this is the biggest one of today. I know Kirk Cousins and various different other outlets will probably suggest other players, but this one's huge. I mean, he's arguably the best player, most highly sought after defensive player, and when he's on his day, he's fantastic. But unfortunately, this is the problem which the Dolphins have put themselves into, and it's led to a situation where they just couldn't continue to try, I suppose, evaluate where they are in terms of, is it defensive players or is it offensive line players in which they want to secure. I've seen in the last era some of the players which were suggested would move on from them have now recontracted from an offensive line perspective. Ultimately, I think he was one shot too many. He's such a big player with a big contract coming. So what are you quoting, $110 million over 4 or 5 years? I know, like, again, you get into the devil of the detail and it probably does an opt-out after a period of time. But I mean, the Raiders have been here before when they've throwing big contracts to players, and you know, they've, as you said, they've mailed it in. And imagine this is an opportunity for them to go in there. And let's bear in mind, Antonio Pierce is, for me, arguably one of the best linebackers to play the game back in the day. Obviously, made up for the Giants, probably shining through there. But it's a good player to work under, and imagine he will get the best out of these guys.
Now, we tend to focus on one side of the ledger and talk about the team signing players, but I think the Wilkins deal, when you combine it with Robert Hunt Also leaving the Dolphins to go to the Packers for $100 million. Their offensive guard. Dolphins were one of seven teams going into free agency who were projected to have a bit of cap trouble. They got to get deals for Jalen Waddle done and a Tua Tagovailoa extension as well. So they got a plan for that. And that means taking some pain and letting some key pieces go. Wilkins and Hunter are two guys that you would like to have had around in the trenches on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, this is, you know, when people say, oh, the cap doesn't matter. The cap does matter. It'll always catch you down the road at some point. And, you know, this is why teams have windows and they need to do things within those windows before things like this happen. And that's just the way the game is. I mean, look, these are two players who absolutely you would love to keep at whatever team you're at. For me, I was saying to Brian as well earlier, I knew the Bears wouldn't, but I was just praying that Wilkins was in play for them just to bring him in there. But unfortunately, no, didn't seem to happen. But yeah, this is what happens with the cap. You know, you plan it out, and if it doesn't hit when you want it to hit, then you end up having to just kind of refresh it out and start again. And that's where the Dolphins are now. As you say, they have other deals to get done. So this is just the reality of the game.
Brian, there weren't too many premium pass rushers available, as I remember, in free agency last year. This year, there seems to be a couple knocking around. Jonathan Greenard picked up by the Vikings, 4-year deal. He had a really good season in Houston last year. Wasn't always the headline grabber, but a, you know, solid, solid production, to put it mildly.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Vikings have seemed to have gone down the Texans route today. They took in Blake Cashman as well, another linebacker from the Texans. I don't know whether they looked at, you know, said, you see, I remember last year the Orlando, who does the Falcons, suggested that the Falcons would go heavily and very strongly on one particular team, and that was the Saints. And it looks like the Vikings have kind of gone this route as well. They've gone after players directly from one team. I don't know if they're trying to kind of merge them together and hoping they can, you know, get lightning in the bottle again. Two players that were so effective and so dominant. Last week they were suggesting he would be one of the underrated players in terms of going to free agency, or whoever was to pick up Greenard would get a smashing player. I think it was $78 million has been quoted over 3 or 4 years, so he's got what he wanted. But interesting to see with the Vikings too. Well, Vikings have gone leaning very heavily on defense so far today. I know it's 80 days and we're only 4 or 5 hours in, so but they still got a conundrum now with a quarterback and what they're going to do now with Kirk Cousins' departure. But certainly two players that really, really effective season for the Texans. It'd be interesting. He can continue the trend when it wants to hit Minnesota.
No, we mentioned the Packers earlier and what they were doing on the offensive side of the ball, but now they've brought in Xavier McKinney from the Giants on the other side as well. Like it's clear they mean business, and why wouldn't they? Youngest roster in the NFL, you know, outperformed, you know, from the point of view of a lot of outsiders in the playoffs last year, came within a whisker of down in the 49ers and onto the championship game, and they're coming out swinging in free agency.
Yeah, no, they absolutely seem to have a purpose now today, looking at the moves they've made. As you said, we talked about they went running back. They dropped someone, brought someone in, paid big money. They're going to do that again now, as you say, at safety. And yeah, I think these Packers, a young team, they probably overachieved last year from what a lot of us thought they would do. And they look like they don't want to let that slip, and they want to build on that. And I think the NFC North as a whole looks like it could be a really competitive division this year. A lot of teams, you just mentioned the Vikings there, the Lions did what they did last year, and hopefully the Bears are improving. So this NFC North looks like it's really developing into something that could be a tough division to win.
A casualty of the Packers on the way out, Brian, is David Bakhtiari. On his day, one of the best offensive linemen in the NFL, has had real, real difficulty with injury over the last couple of seasons. And you hate to see it, but it was an obvious move and one that, you know, it was about when rather than if.
And if $20.9 million, I think, was the number being quoted today. I think it's in around 15, around in terms of cap savings for them. Inevitable, being called out for weeks. For me, it was more of a wave than end up. Is it another quick flight to New York? And he strikes up another relationship with Aaron Rodgers. He obviously are very quite friendly from the days in Green Bay, but like it's a clear name for the Jets. You know, I know it makes sense. You know, he's one of the stellar linemen within the league on the offensive side, so it does make sense. Jets need a lot of action, but it probably would be.
Are you suggesting that Aaron Rodgers needs him to protect him, or that they'll both be in the treatment room for the whole season next year?
Aaron Rodgers is going to need someone to protect him, but unfortunately, like Aaron Rodgers seems to be the one we've seen over the last week. We're going to go with Asher Gopher. I'll go for it. He said last week he's going to play for the next 4 years. And again, Jets fans over the past week have been suggesting, who's the GM here? Is it Joe Douglas or is it Aaron Rodgers? But If Aaron Rodgers gets his way, I imagine David Bakhtiari would be getting an opportunity to at least come in and negotiate a contract with the Jets. They do need an offensive line. They need backup. They've had a number of injuries last year. We saw how unfortunate it was a quarterback, even for the Zach Wilson experience. But it makes sense for him to go there. But again, for the Packers, rootless today. Time to move him on. Darnell Savage has gone to the Jags. A good pickup for the Jags. But again, a player they've recognized as a better safety out there. We're going to go get X McKinney, and Darnell Savage has moved on to the Jags. So yes, you knew his carries were marked there as well.
Fine singing voice on David Bakhtiari as well, as anyone who's seen Pitch Perfect 2 will know. Himself and Clay Matthews on the a cappella team, and the sing off, that's revealing way too much about what I do in my spare time when I'm not watching the NFL. But great movie, underrated movie, Pitch Perfect 2. Couple of interesting moves in terms of players who haven't yet moved on, Noel, and one indeed who looks like he's going to be locked down by his existing team, Michael Pittman Jr. Colts look like they're finalizing a 3-year deal to keep him in Indy. That's a key piece. They'll hope to have Anthony Richardson back, fire and fit. Showed really well in his couple of games last year before going down to injury. And that's somebody that they would have been very keen. You don't let a guy like that go if there's any chance of keeping him on your roster.
No, absolutely. He had a really good season last year. And as you say, they've a young rookie quarterback who'll be coming back from injury. And I mean, when we saw the franchise tag go on Pittman, you kind of knew it was just a placeholder, that they would be working on a deal. Because as you say, you don't let young talent like that go. You try to build with that and put more kind of targets around that young quarterback. And Pittman looks like a player who could go on and develop. I don't think he's quite at that top level yet as a wide receiver, but he is still a guy who can be absolutely productive and can really get your quarterback out of trouble when he needs it. And yeah, he looks like a player who will be in Indy now for quite a while to come, judging by the reports coming out in terms of what deal it looks like they're about to agree.
We're talking about a player who was franchise tagged and looks like he's staying, Brian. Franchise tagged and wants out, on the other hand, is T. Higgins at the Bengals. Like, something always had to give there between Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd. I don't think a lot of people would like in Cincinnati for it to be T. Higgins who makes his way out the door. That's where he wants to go.
Yeah, it doesn't come as a surprise. We saw over the course of the last week. There's kind of rumblings coming out that he wasn't happy with the tag. Most players, like Nolan suggests, Pittman's worked that well. He's been tagged with a view to a trip, with a view to a deal. There's a lot of players who, it's a bit of breathing room for both the GM and the team to kind of, I suppose, negotiate the finer points of a deal. But with T. Higgins, it looks like it's quite the opposite. It looks like there's no deal in place. There doesn't seem to be any kind of compromise in terms of where they're at and where they want to get to. I saw Tyler Boyd was suggesting as someone who wasn't going to be returning. So when I saw that, I said, okay, that makes sense, and that they will find a way to navigate a deal. I wonder, is he kind of playing his cards early here? I don't really want to get traded, but I'll put the ask in because ultimately I want to get paid. But it's a brave move because I don't think the Bengals are going to give him what he wants ultimately. And it's a bit like Snead with the Chiefs. Franchise tag, but a view to a trade. But ultimately, is he going to get the trade or is he going to be back with the Chiefs? It's a game of poker for both sides of it, but Bengals probably knew this was coming. I think they'll find a way to navigate this one.
Right, there we leave it for our first segment, our first look at free agent frenzy.